We all bow our heads, give a prayer to Yahweh before we get started. Oh, Heavenly Father Yahweh, we thank you again. We come and with bowed head and bended knee, Yahweh, to praise you and to do your obedience, your commandments, Yahweh. We come to thank you, Yahweh, for allowing us to congregate in your name. We want to thank you, Yahweh, for your son, Yahshua, and what he's done for us. He's basically his sacrifice for our sins, Yahweh, and him as our salvation. We would like to thank you, Yahweh. Yahweh, we come on this beautiful Sabbath day. Every day is a beautiful Sabbath day, regardless of if it's for rain, snow, sleet, or sun, Yahweh. We like to thank you for being able to be here, to bless you, to do your will, and everything. These are many more blessings we pray in your son's name. Hallelujah. All right. So actually, we get going right after prayer, and I don't have to wait. So I will get started on my topic. And as usual, well, first, this is a new Sabbath for me speaking. I've never spoken on this Sabbath, and I actually changed Sabbath, speaking on the third instead of the first now. So trying to get acclimated to the changes. Hopefully, I won't be thrown off by that. But just to jump right in, the title of this particular study is called Perseverance. And so usually all of my studies are based off of what may have happened to me or I've seen happen to other brethren or a question that I may have gotten in the past week or the past month. And so this one is definitely kind of focused on myself and, you know, kind of a question that I asked myself after, you know, certain things have happened in the last couple of months. It's been a while since I've spoken, and so I've had time to have a lot of things happen and got put together a study that I think you guys are going to pretty much enjoy. So perseverance, the definition that I pulled off of Google is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And so perseverance, that's a word we don't commonly use, or it's not actually, it's used a few times in the Bible, but not a lot. You basically will see the synonym patience instead of perseverance. You'll see diligence instead of perseverance. But the reason I brought up this particular topic is, you know, it seems like over the last couple of months, the attacks have been getting more frequent. And when I say attacks, most of you already know what I'm talking about. You can be going about your daily life, doing your daily deal, and just, you know, minding your own business, and the adversary will throw something in your path. And then you shake it off, keep going, doing daily routine, and next thing you know, something else will come and try to shake you. And then you keep going, and then something else, and something else, and something else. And for me, it's just that it seems like it's getting more frequent than it used to be. And so it allowed me to kind of like step back and just, you know, kind of focus on the word perseverance. And so I pulled up some of the synonyms for the word, and it's persistence. And so I started thinking, okay, am I living by the word, and is my, the way that I look at it, is it based off of some of these descriptions of the word perseverance? Am I persistent in what I'm doing? Tenacity. Tenacity is one of them. I show a certain, you know, nonstop type of feel for Yahweh's word or for him and for his son. Determination. Am I determined in my mind that I'm not going to let these constant barrages from the adversary affect me? Purposeful. Obviously, if I'm doing his will and his word, do I have purpose in what I'm doing? And does that purpose continue with me? Patience, obviously. Endurance, you know, can I last as long as possible, as long as needed to stay on the path? Diligence, dedication, commitment, tirelessness, single-minded. Am I focused? Because what the adversary will do is, I think he's like a gnat. Anybody ever slept with their windows open in the summer? I'm from the country, so yes, I have. And then you get a gnat in your room, and no matter how big the room, that gnat will fly in your ear every time. It's like it's a magnet to your ear. Actually, it's attracted to the heat of your body that's coming off your head, but it's going to find your ear, even if you have cover over your head. And so that's how I look at the adversary and all his minions. They are going to do everything they can to try to throw you off or frustrate you or get you off that path. And usually it's something that's to the point to where they're trying to break you. And so, and when they break you, you basically didn't persevere through the trials that you're getting at that time. And the first question that came up to me, does any of these words describe my walk or your walk in Messiah? Does any of the words that I just mentioned? And they should. You're right, Johannes. Let's go to Revelations 3, verse 10. Revelations 3, verse 10. Because what I'm going to try to do is build a case for when we look at it from a single event, a single attack or repetitive attacks, do we open our mind up to see the big picture? And then obviously it's the end goal. What is the end goal? And so staying truth to the word until the end should be our end goal. But in Revelations 3:10, this is Yahshua speaking to the Philadelphia, Church of Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Hold that fast which thou hast. What do we have? Anybody want to answer? We have the word of Yahweh, which is Yahshua the Messiah, which is our salvation, which leads to our crown in Yahweh. And so we have to hold fast to that we have, because be it principalities, a person, or whatever, is going to try to take that because they can't get it. They can't have it. So why would they just leave us alone to let us, you know, just meal through life, you know, puppies and kittens through life to the point to where we just stumble our way into eternal life without having anything, you know, try to throw us off course. And so why does Yahshua encourage Philadelphia to hold fast? So no one or nothing will take our crown, because it's free. It's for us if we do his commandments and believe on his son. It's right there for us. Now you can say it, oh, all I have to do is do the commandments, believe in Yahshua, you know, eternal life. That sounds easy, but it's definitely not, especially when in certain cases that gnat is driving you crazy in the middle of the night in your ear and won't leave you alone. Let's go to Revelations 2, verse 10. Revelations 2, verse 10. And this is Yahshua's talking to Smyrna. Church in Smyrna. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. We've all accepted the fact that we will suffer. Walking in this faith, Yahshua, his name, through Yahweh, there will be suffering. There will be attacks. There will be tribulation. But it is our job to understand how long that suffering will be and the magnitude of that suffering. Do we realize that it's until the end? And what is the end? Death. In your mind, are you looking at it from the point of, I could be attacked for the rest of my life. do I have the perseverance to make it through this for the rest of my life? If I live until 90, like grandma, do I have the perseverance, the diligence to make it to the end if a gnat is driving me crazy nonstop every day, all day, until I die? It's kind of the stuff that I have to think about in these situations. And we have to, because if we don't, somebody's going to take our crown or something, or we're going to take our crown and throw it away ourselves, and we can't do that. Let's go to James 1, James 1, verse 12. And so, thinking of how long and how much, I kind of put my mindset as, okay, I'm not just going to let this annoy me. I'm not going to let all this stuff that keeps going on, you know, sidetrack me. I'm just going to let it roll off my back like a duck in water and just keep moving. And then it'll start happening more. And then I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm just going to ignore it. And then it's going to happen more. And so, now granted, let me stop there. I'm talking about first world problems. There are people out there that have a lot more things going on than I will ever imagine when it comes to attacks and trials and suffering. But take into account of what we know to be suffering and not trying to diminish or say that our suffering is more than anybody else. Can you last until the end? Is the question that I ask. And James 1:12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh hath promised to them that love him. And so, doesn't perseverance, your steadfastness and single-minded in his word and in him, show that you love him? That's one of the ways to show you love him. Not getting sidetracked, not letting somebody else steal your crown. It's showing that I see you, and that's all. All this other stuff is noise. All of these other attacks is just, you know, you're not attacking my life. If I can overcome it and get through it, then it shouldn't faze me. It shouldn't take me off my path. In the end, we know we have the promise, but can we lose sight and the suffering, if the suffering gets too hard? Because sometimes when you're being attacked, you can only focus on the attack at that point because you're trying to deal with the attack. And then, you know, I know for myself, usually I'm talking about myself when I say this, when I'm dealing with one thing and I'm really focused on that one thing, I don't see anything else because I'm trying to get this done. But I got to get out of that. And I got to take the blinders off on that thing and say, okay, what is this one thing or what would this one thing impact me down the line? How would it impact my salvation? How would it take my crown? How would it prevent me from eternal life? And I got to get out of that narrow-mindedness of, okay, this is happening and there's nothing else and I don't know how I'm going to get around this or out of this. And no. Where I'm going next is probably, you guys know, that's when Yahweh steps in. You ask him. But before I get there, let's go to Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. See what Solomon says about the trials and the sufferings and the attacks that may happen and the constant bombardment that the adversary could send your way. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. This race that we are on right now, that we're running in, is not who can finish the fastest. Because the person that finished the fastest is no longer with us. And so we don't want that to happen. It's the one that can slowly and steadily and consistently fight the fight or run the race until the end not stopping. This is an endurance race. This is not a sprint. And that's what Solomon is trying to say.